Oh man, I knew it was coming. Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Exotica TV's Happy Hour-ish. Here, I'm your host Jay with my, I should take your name tag down at this point. Who's next? Who's over there? It's Dan! Oh
howdy,
man,
howdy.
You went from Bat Dan to...
Jason Dan?
Jason
Dan? I actually wore this out earlier, I shit you not, with a mask over it.
What? How was it received?
Considering it was to the supermarket where my son was the cashier and I went in his line, not very well.
Okay, makes sense. So,
but anyway.
So what's up, man? So, as you can tell, I'm not on the Philadelphia tip today. I've ventured up to Vermont thinking I was getting away from all the scabies that Philly had, and I found out that Vermont's got scabies too. So
bad things happen in Philly.
I'm surrounded by scabies. Bad things happen in Philadelphia, Dan.
So I like the caption you have for me. So
bad
first,
things
I want,
happen in Philadelphia. Bad things.
I have to make a public apology because I have something under here, Jay.
You're going
to
apologize for putting me through this?
Hold on, shut up. I'm going to apologize because if you turn into last week's show, we've done 33 of these, right? I've interviewed over my almost 20-year career in an adult. I don't know how many people. Before that, in the music industry, I don't know how many people I interviewed. Professional athletes.
I think the key there was professional.
I'm an obnoxious person. Never have I ever provoked somebody to go off the show. And I still don't know how I did that. But I want to apologize publicly to you, Jay, for booking Sarah Vandella last week.
You know what? I told you. All I got to say is I told you, Dan.
There's no way you could have predicted that amount of batshit crazy.
I kind of could have, actually. I've had my run-ins before, as we
described. The reasoning was, and I found out, because we were all wondering. You were wondering if it was you. Christy Canyon thought it was something she said. It turns out that when I introduced her, I said, please welcome adult film to beautiful women, adult film legend Christy Canyon, and the one and only... and her friend, Sarah Vandella. Sarah Vandella got pissed off because I said she was her friend.
She doesn't have friends, Dan. You should know that. That's one thing that you need to know.
I don't know. I don't even want to talk about it. A lot of shit's changed.
We're moving past it. I'm over it. It's a new day. You know what? And to make up for the lack of the fourth guest last week, we're bringing in five guests this week. So, well, five people. Three guests.
So five people.
Five people.
Well, let me do this correctly so I don't insult anybody here. So our three guests.
Yes.
One is an adult film legend. One of the 50 greatest. I think she was number 7 in the list of the 50 greatest adult film stars
She's
of all time.
She's going to hang up on you because she was probably 6.
No, she was 7. I'm reading it. It's in Wikipedia. Okay. It's got to be true.
Okay.
She was also the very first Vivid Girl. The one and only Ginger Lynn.
You want me to bring all? I'm bringing everybody in. No,
you're gonna bring everybody. Okay, and hold on. The hysterical, the beautiful, the wonderful, the multi-talented, semi-pro cock jockey, as she refers to herself,
.com.
Kate Kennedy, and Jay,
the cherry on top, baby.
I'm fucking psyched about this.
Me too.
An actor who is in a couple of my, believe it or not, favorite movies of all time, and he's just, you know, all around awesome. My fellow brother from Jersey. Jersey, let's hear it for Jersey.
I'm not holding that against him.
The one and only Scott Schwartz. Welcome.
Hey,
yes.
There they are. What's up, guys?
Hi, everybody.
Welcome to the show.
Hey.
This is awesome. So
listen,
this is our
we're
going to
give everybody
holiday.
3 seconds to back out right now. If you want to, just click your power button and walk away.
I'm out of here.
I'm sorry if I undersold anybody in the intro here.
You're all stars.
Yeah. But yeah, big fans of all three of you.
What do you mean I'm number 7?
That's right.
That's what I'm telling you, Dan.
ABN ranked.
I'm out of here.
Fake news.
ABN ranked you at number 7 in the list of the 50 greatest porn stars of all time. Honestly, I think you're definitely way, way more than that. I think everybody would agree with me.
You can't go way more. You're already like top 10. I mean,
like you're like, there's people like, you know, that we have on the show, right? And, you know, when I tell, you know, my friends who don't work in the business, they ask, who do you got on this week? There's few people that I say their name and they know who it is.
Right.
And, you know, you and Scott also, I mean, they know who you are. Kate, they're gonna know who you are because you're fucking awesome too,
dude.
Did you, you guys got?
Thank you. I mean, you could have introduced me however you wanted. I Ginger just Lynn's friend. The other day that just happened to me. I did a set and someone called me a cunt afterwards, and I was like, nice. Oh, whatever. And someone was like, aren't you gonna get mad about that? I was like, you could call me whatever you want. Yeah, I'll answer to anything.
You know what? It doesn't it make life cunt. Easier?
Right? I do too.
Yeah.
I was like, why would I be offended by that?
The coolest word. It can go either way for me. If you're my cunt, that's a good thing. If you're a fucking cunt, it's a bad thing. If you're
so when
fucking
you put fuck
me
before it.
The only time you can really call me a cunt is if you're fucking me and pulling my hair.
Duly
and then,
noted.
Oh, it's all game.
Duly
yeah,
noted.
I was not getting fucked. It was like a fairly well-known other comic, and it was, you little fucking cunt. So it was not.
Oh, I had these.
Oh,
yeah,
not
had
a positive.
Cool at all.
Hilarious. I just started
Did
laughing hysterically. I thought it was so. No, I thought it was so funny.
They're doing
wow.
it.
Wow. Did you do anything to provoke him?
Oh yeah. No, I was being kind of a cunt. Like I.
Oh okay.
Yeah. No. Like he put me up for like a slot I didn't want. He made me follow like a really big comic, and I made a joke about him afterwards. Like, this is the worst thing you've ever made me do. And apparently he did not like having jokes made at his expense, okay. Which no one bothered to tell me till after.
Is there a
like,
word
oh, you
that
can't make
actually,
fun of that guy?
Is there? Yeah, everybody has that one guy. Word that offends them, right? Is
Marty
there?
McFly
is there a word?
Had chicken.
Scott, is there a word that offends you?
Sure, the K word for a Jewish person. I don't even say it.
No, okay, I
yeah,
agree.
If you go to that place, then it's all over.
Okay.
As a fellow member of the tribe, because people, you know, look at me or they, you know, they see my name because Davis is my last name and they have no idea. And they'll just be somebody like just sitting there talking and saying this and that. And I'm like, you know, hey, I'm Jewish, you know.
And I'm 6'4".
And I'm also 6'4" and a half and close to 300 pounds. Yeah. So I will fucking kill you.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I'll remember never to fuck with you, Dan.
Right. I know. You never have, though. You've always been cool every time. So like when I first started, so I started in the business we were talking about before we went live. I started in the business, this business of adult in 1997 was my first year. I was the editor of Genesis magazine at the time. That was my first like adult gig editorship. And I went out to the AVN Expo and I saw you, Ginger. Ginger was there.
Was
Scott,
her hair,
I think
like,
you
four
were
more
out
inches
there.
Taller, five more mm-hmm. inches taller.
I was there.
So I saw Scott there. I mean, there was just like random. I'm like, where did I just go? Because it was, I mean, the show was huge. I mean, like, you know, Vivid and Wicked and everybody, they just built these monstrous booths that, you know, you couldn't believe. They were like little cities. I mean, you know, tens of thousands of people in the building because CES was at the same time, right? And then, you know, I see like Ginger.
Amazing days ever. Yeah. And,
yeah, and Jenna.
The lines would go on for 6 to 8 hours. I would have my father with me to cut the line off because I was too nice to do it. You know, when I had to go to the bathroom, I would hold it till my eyes were floating. Those were the best days ever for conventions.
Well, and it wasn't fan based either, really. I mean,
and now you got fucking Exotica. Yeah.
And now you got to deal with
no,
us.
I love it. Well, I love Exotica. I'm just not invited anymore.
Oh, get out of here.
You're always invited. I hate when people say that. Always, always invited.
Am I always invited?
Always.
You're always invited.
Everybody's invited.
Everybody
minimize yeah. your invitation.
Kate,
but
have you've been to the show, yeah. right?
I have yeah. actually. Exotica was my first ever adult convention before I worked in sex work at all. I was there to do charity stuff. Oh. I was doing in Denver. I worked at a dungeon and like kink BDSM education,
yeah. oh.
and we were their like official like charity case
was it?
Of
no,
the convention. Whatever they donated, like a
Thunder of the Mountain.
No, I was with Colorado Cal,
okay,
which is the Center for Alternative Lifestyles, and we sponsored like BDSM and like kink education classes. So okay. we had a whole curriculum of stuff, and it's a nonprofit, and so they had given us a free booth space to be able to like go all weekend and talk to people that might be interested. And I got tapped to go because I was like the only hot girl, and so they're like, no one else is gonna come talk to us. Like we're all
was this
middle-aged
this
BDSM
before
people.
You got into the industry or.
Yeah, like 2 years before. But I went and it was so fun. And I was like, wait a second, I want to hang out with these people.
Yeah.
Like, this is a job? oh fuck.
Exactly.
And I remember like a couple girls while I was there and was like out smoking were like, you're pretty, you could do this. And I had never like looked at myself that way or thought that I could. Like, it was cool. It was a really big, I had a great weekend. I had so much fun. It's like one of my favorite memories. It's definitely one thing that like inspired me to get into the adult industry.
Oh, look at
Scott.
That.
That's awesome.
What's
Scott.
Your area of expertise?
Yes.
When I was doing BDSM, like edge play, I was a sub, like a bottom, but I would do like really extreme. Like I got waterboarded. I did a bunch of like mock crucifixion upside down. I started as a rope bondage model. That was like the first stuff I got paid to do.
Right.
Where I would do the really elaborate photo shoot kind of stuff.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, it was fun. I did it through college for like a few years just as a hobby. And then like I slowly started to make money at it. And then I ended up getting hired behind the scenes for a BDSM porn company. And I worked for them for like a year before I started actually performing.
So I have a question.
Fuck on film?
Yes, I do. I performed full time in LA for 2 years. I just retired this year at the beginning of COVID.
Oh, congratulations on everything.
She was in, she was out.
You get to know people.
Yeah, I call myself a porn comment.
Congratulations on your retirement.
Not a star. Well, I want to fucking retire. I came and went.
Came in hot and left. Good for you.
So I have a question for you, Scott. So, I mean, for those who don't know and have been living under a rock, so Scott was in, your first movie that you did was the Toy, right? With Richard Pryor and Jackie Gleason, right? Mm-hmm. And then he was also in A Christmas Story, I Triple Dog Dare You.
You know,
Flick.
Yeah,
I just realized that you say this. Like,
and what my favorite movie, though, I think, well, one of the three when I watch, because you know, I grew up watching those movies, and one of my favorite, Kidco. I love that fucking movie.
That's my favorite.
I gotta say, that was awesome. I think that I there are very few movies that I know that I watch at least once a year, and you know, arguably I watch six times on one day because God knows it's playing on repeat the whole day. But
they're good movies, but
I just have to tell you that I watch The Christmas Story every year, and this year, yesterday, someone sent me a giant leg lamp.
So I got a funny story about the leg lamps to you. So a friend of mine, so I had mentioned I used to work in the music business before the adult thing. And I used to be a tour manager. Then I moved on to journalism. But one of the bands I was, you know, worked with was a band called Trickster. And they, you know, they had some hits in the early 90s. And the manager of Trickster, after all the hair metal stuff came and gone, he started a company called NECA, which actually I believe made this mask and a bunch of other stuff. National Entertainment Collectibles Association. He has a Learjet of some sort that he basically got from the licensing of the fucking leg lamp. So you go into a store and buy a leg lamp, he does that. He's now parlayed the leg lamp into terrible. Oh, it gets better. He's parlayed, and here's where it goes around full circle, Scott. He parlayed that into the leg lamp fortune until he now owns 51% of Graceland Enterprises. He owns fucking Graceland, controlling interest in Graceland. And I'm going around full circle because why, Scott? With Elvis?
Yeah, but that's irrelevant.
I love it's irrelevant?
Realistically, right. Joel should thank me for the whole thing.
Oh, so you know Joel too, Mr. Wineshanker.
Joel should thank me for the whole thing.
I want to hear this.
Because
I know somebody else to take credit for it.
Yeah, well, there's stories and then there's what went down.
Tell us the truth.
The guy that owned the Christmas had a free reign, had a letter from Warner Brothers that said he could make leg lamps. This was before NECA came into the picture. He had basically a get out of jail free card, make leg lamps, we don't care. Joel got the license to do Christmas Story, turned around and sent him a cease and desist. And I was friends with him, and I knew Joel because of the products that they were making.
Right.
And I arranged the meeting between the two of them to get the deal done so Joel could get the Christmas Story House's leg lamp stuff, information, manufacturing information, all of that, right. So he could get them for cheaper, and he'd have the steady customer in the Christmas Story House. So when I got the deal I got them to sit down. Neither one of them wanted to talk to each other, and I knew both of them. I said, hey, he's a good guy. He's okay. Just sit down and meet. I was going to play mediary, and Warner Brothers stepped in and said, you've done an amazing job. We can't believe it, but you have no financial stake in any of this. So we would really prefer that you don't come to the meeting. We're going to be there. And I mean, I got calls after breakfast. I got calls after lunch. And I was getting the updates. And I finally said to Brian, I said, what do you want? What does he want? Help make the deal happen. And they did make the deal happen. And
listen, man, you deserve a Learjet of your own.
$3. Listen, you know, that and $3 would still get me a cup of coffee, but that's how it happens.
Oh, please. As Jay, I'm the king of putting people together and not getting fucking thanked or paid for it, but I digress here. But so as far as like, and you've also been, you've involved in heavily involved in the sports card market, Scott. Are you still doing that?
Yeah, a little, very little now. I just,
because now they say baseball cards are making a
move on other things. Oh, are baseball, they? Basketball cards have gone crazy. Football, whatever. You know,
that's what we should do, Jay. We should invest in.
I think I still have somewhere here. I actually still have. I have something of ginger, but
I tried it. I thought I was gonna like send myself to college on my baseball card collection, and now I've come to realize it just takes up space in my basement.
You didn't buy the right stuff.
Yeah, I mean,
the only ones that I ever bought was back when I was dating Charlie, and he convinced me that Daryl Strawberry was going to be huge. It was just before all the hoopla that went on, so I bought 1,000 Daryl Strawberry trading
that's what you get for cards. Listening to Charlie Sheen.
What was I thinking? I know, and they said I was going to ruin his reputation.
Yeah, seriously. Oh my
god. So I dropped names, and everybody. Kate, you want to drop a name?
Sure.
Okay. I have a sizable collection of vintage Care Bear plush from the 80s. Dude, I have like over 200 of them.
Aww.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's, I mean, the better answer would have been Smurfs, but I will take Care Bears.
My sister and I were very into them when we were young, which is weird because like the show wasn't on the air anymore. I don't know how we got into them, but you used to be able to buy them on eBay for like $2 or $3 a bear. And so my parents would get them for us as like if we did good at school or something, because it's a small little whatever.
Right.
We end up with like over 200 at one point. And some of them are valuable, but I don't know if you've ever tried to sell a lot of like stuffed animals from the 1980s. It's very hard to buy.
Listen,
like we've had them listed on eBay for years.
Selling anything online is the worst experience of
t-shirts
of my life. Has anybody actually tried to use Facebook Marketplace? Because I'll tell you what, you want to lose faith in the world. List something on Facebook Marketplace. Like the interactions that you have with people out there that are like trying to buy a $20 nightstand or something is the most painful. Like it terrifies me for our future.
Man. Okay, I buy almost all of my stuff that way. I love it.
Now buying versus selling.
I use eBay on a regular basis. I use eBay to sell. I use eBay to buy. I love eBay.
Well, like you and Christy, I mean, you guys are like old school. You're still selling panties on there, and
well, we're not. I am officially responsible for the lack of the ability to sell panties on eBay anymore. You can't sell anything that's you can't sell any underwear, and you can't sell any clothing that's unlaundered. But I just sell whatever I wore that I'm sick of. You know, that I wore to this convention, or I wore to this or that, because I have all these fancy clothes that I don't know what else to do with them. You can only wear them once or twice. So I sell all that shit on eBay. I recently sold a card, my America's Cooking Club card, for like $40.
Free money.
Dan auctioned off a piece of vagina. So
I did. Labia.
That was you, wasn't it?
That was me. I had a site called Erotic Bid back in the day. We were the porn eBay, and we actually through some people that we knew when Houston did her labiaplasty after her gangbang.
Dan got the Germans.
We were talking, and she said, "Oh, I saved a piece of it." I'm like, "What?" I'm like, "Well, I have this website.
You know what I can do with that?
Only really Houston."
So we went, it was just a piece. It looked like a sea monkey. And
did you try putting it in water? Did it come back to life?
No, it didn't grow like a shrimp.
Okay.
Shrimps. But we went, so now, so the mind's taught, you know, so we're there like, okay, there's laws against, you know, selling this. This is medical fucking, you know, waste space.
This is some medical right? grade labia mm-hmm. right here.
It is. So, so we're there like, all right, so in order to sell it, we have to somehow hermetically seal it. So now I'm on the phone and I've made some stupid fucking phone calls in my life. Like, yeah, like, hey, you know, we own this adult trade show and we want to have a 6 foot, instead of mechanical bull, we want a mechanical penis. But I think my worst phone call I ever made was calling this guy who did Lucite, like statues and awards and stuff. And I'm like, so can you encase stuff in this Lucite? And he's there, yeah. I said, pretty much anything. He's there, yeah. I said, what about something like living organism? He's there, what do you mean, living organism? I can't put an animal or anything in there. Like Han Solo or some
my
shit,
and
right back. But I mean, so but yeah. You know, then I said, well, it's a piece of, you know. Have you heard of the adult film star Houston? Blah blah blah. So it turns out he did. He's there. All right, I think we can do this, but
oh, buddy,
it might get, you know, for the process, it might get ruined. It might just disintegrate in it. So we'll cut the, you know, labia in half. We'll save some just in case it gets destroyed. It didn't. It worked. So somewhere in my basement, and I've been cleaning all during the you know, coronavirus thing, just getting rid of stuff. And my kids are helping me, you know, with my kids. They're 18 and 15. Oh, but I'm just waiting for somebody to pull this little vial and say, Dad, what is this? They found my Nestle Quick Bunny bomb that I made in, like, fucking high school. No. You know, they found a bunch of, like, you know, just, like, old trophies and pictures and things like that. But they've yet to find Houston's labia. Yeah, but anyway. But those were the good old days, people. The good old days.
What does one do? Did somebody buy it? Did it sell?
The late Dennis Hoff actually bought it.
So for what? Like, do it like on a trophy stand or something?
He had it in the bunny ranch, and like they have like a little area, like, I guess.
Hey, you VIP, you want to see something? Come check this
in
out.
The front of the trailer, they would have like
I got some labia trimmings.
Here's a used needle from Lamar Odom. Yeah, here's that.
I went to college with Lamar Odom.
Did you?
We used to play basketball. He lived in the house next to me.
Dude, you must have gotten destroyed.
Oh, dude, it was crazy. He ripped our hoop down like 3 different times throughout the year, but we didn't care. We kept putting it up just because we wanted to see Lamar Odom come tear it down.
Right. So Scott, how did you get into this crazy world? Because you crossed over for a while. I mean, you've worn many hats in your career. But you did work in adult for a, you know, brief period of time. How'd you get involved in all that?
Well, there was another child star who was to meet up with Ginger at the Comedy Store and said me that Sam Kinison is going to introduce him to her. And I thought he was full of BS because Sam was a big star and whatever. But I said, okay, I'll give you a ride there. And that was the first night at the Comedy Store when I met Ginger and Christy. And then sometime after that, somebody else say, we need help on a set. Be a PA. Make the sandwiches. Go shopping. All right. I did that. It was a buck. It was a job, whatever. And the next thing you know, I was working for Jim South at World Modeling. I helped run Ona Z's company for a while. I did stuff for New Beginnings, and then I started directing for VCA, and I did stuff for Wicked and Metro and Vivid. It just, it, you know, then do a behind the scenes thing. And then it was, then I was doing on camera non-sex roles in a lot of things, you know,
so
probably,
Scott,
I don't know.
The big question is, 15. If we introduced you as Christy Canyon's friend, would you hang up on us?
No, because she is my friend. Christy's my friend. Ginger's my friend. I'm happy to say they're my friends.
Sure,
of
30... it wasn't just us. Like,
you're my dear friend, Scotty, and I treasure you as my friend. I hope we're always friends.
Of course, this is, you know, you guys don't really realize it, and the young lady that's sitting with us, she has no idea. Ginger and I were friends before you were born. We've been friends for 33 years already.
Has it been 33 years?
Yes, wow. It has.
That's weird. So you met Ginger when she was what, like 3, 4?
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you for that, Dan.
See, Dan, you get all the fucking credit.
So. Oh, that's Jay. I'm
sorry. I'm sorry.
That's okay. We've been smoking and drinking and whatever else.
I'm not drinking, but I am smoking.
And, I just met you all, but I would be more than happy to be introduced as any of your friends.
See?
That is totally fine. At least acquaintances now, but you know, I'm getting a good vibe.
We'll see how the show goes.
I gotta say this. I just gotta say one thing. I have to apologize to Ginger because I have a package of stuff to send to you, and I just haven't sent it.
Is it a labia?
I will send it. No, it's not labia.
You're a sweetheart, honey. You are always.
No, I have magazines and photos and whatever.
That's fantastic. I would love that. Thank you so much.
I
know.
I just keep forgetting to send it.
She's smoking out here, man. I'm smoking while we're on the air. It's my little.
It's
my
legal.
Little
so am I.
I'm in Las Vegas. Stoners. It's legal here.
So,
but I'm drinking iced tea. If that makes you feel any better.
So this is like crazy. So, look, I mean, if everybody went down the line and said the most famous person you ever met, like Scott and Ginger would like trump all of us, even though I didn't meet Trump. But, I mean, Scott, how was it? I mean, fucking working with Pryor and Gleason, like of their generations, the two biggest comedy icons ever.
Yeah,
it was great. I mean, they were great guys. There was no PC anything.
Like,
so,
did you realize it in the moment? Like that, you know, who you were with?
Oh, no, I knew. I was 14 years old. I knew who I was working with and
all
that.
14 years old, LaToy?
Yeah, yeah.
Holy
shit. You know, but, I mean, it was great and it was fun, and it turned into lifelong friendships, and I was friends with Richard till he passed, and I was friends with Mr. Gleason until he passed, and, you know.
I just finished watching the Comedy Store documentary that they have on Netflix.
I haven't watched them all yet. I've only watched the first two.
I won't spoil it for you, but
it's
really,
on Showtime.
It's on Showtime.
And I have it all recorded now. I just haven't watched it yet.
It was amazing to see. I mean, they did a great job with it. And it was really amazing to see all the way back to when it started. It actually is, you know, almost kind of in a weird way, like watching Pauly Shore as like a little tiny kid and then remembering him as my like MTV.
Saw Pauly at ABN show.
Yep, I cock blocked Pauly Shore one time.
I used to live at the Comedy Store. My home was 1 mile up above the Comedy Store off of Doheny. And so I was there every night and I became really good friends with Sam Kinison. He called me his little monkey. And, but I was never a chuckle fucker. Now, I won't name names, but
I have never heard that. That's what they call it.
That's the term.
One of my best friends is a total chuckle fucker.
I'm writing this down.
Every time we went down, we'd get down there and I'd find the person doing cocaine and my friend would find
somebody reading the Bible in the corner. And
she would find a comedian to fuck.
Okay.
I go so far out of my way. I am not a chuckle fucker either, but I do stand up there. That's the first place I ever did stand up.
The first place.
Do you get hit on all the time?
So I've been like all the door guys are in love with me. I can't go on like a date there. I took a girl on a date there this summer and I like walked her to her car. And then was going to come back. And I came back in and like five of the guys are at the door. And they're like, so how'd it go? She was cute. How'd it go?
You are
fuck you guys.
Adorable. Are you single?
Thank you. Yes, I'm very single. I go so far out of my way when I'm there, especially to be like, I'm not fucking anyone. This is my career that right. I love. Like, and it's so incestuous and it's so, cause we see each other every day. I go every day.
Right.
Well, the reason when I'm asking you is because I don't work with you and I would love to fuck you.
There you go. Aww. You know what? Exotica TV happy hours making couples
beautiful.
Happen since last week when Sarah Vandella hung up on us.
Jay.
You can't tell cause I'm really pale, but I'm blushing right now.
Are you blushing?
She's almost like translucent, but she's got a little red to her.
Jay, this is a good time for one of our little stupid segments.
Okay,
Not stupid because it involves my beautiful girlfriend, Kathy. But Kathy, you guys don't know her, but Kathy, we've been together for 9 years. She's not in the business, but she does have lots of interesting questions. Some of them might be, you know, we could be together intimately, and she'll
if
just say,
hey. Interesting, you mean really dumb questions. Yes, that she actually
they're not all dumb questions. So what her question this week was on Cat's Curious was, because everybody's worn many, many hats here. If you didn't do adult, what would you be doing? Or what would your job be if you could choose another job? Dream job.
Like a dream job. What's your what would your dream job be?
So let's go first with Kate. What would your dream job be?
Okay, so now I do stand up, which I absolutely love, and podcasts. So that's kind of the next chapter in my like life and career. But I've always said that if I didn't do porn, I would have wanted to be like a park ranger at a national park. I grew up in Colorado, so like very outdoorsy, and I'm really passionate about like our history, especially like public land and giving back and letting everyone like experience like America's natural beauty and wonder. I just think the national parks are like America's greatest idea, and I love them. That's like the cause I donate to. That's what I tried to do after college. That's what I really wanted to do, and I graduated in 2016 with a degree in art history. Unbelievably, I did not get a job with that, and they had gutted a bunch of like federal programs that were for like preservation restoration in the national park. So that's actually what I initially had intended on going into doing.
Interesting.
So yeah, we got to take bets here because we apologize. Ginger has temporarily been disconnected.
Into a shadow person.
Is it because that Scott? You said you were her friend, or?
I don't think so.
Who introduced
you? Or did her phone die?
Probably. That's probably what happened.
I'm guessing her phone died.
I do my dream job. I mean, I've been an actor for, you know, 43 years now, since 1977. So, you know, I mean, I've written some things.
Was it
when you were a kid,
was it your dream job? Well, I mean, when you got into it, was it?
I didn't have a dream job. It just kind of happened.
Okay.
And I just came to love it, you know? Yeah, I mean, I worked fast food like everybody else. I worked at a Burger King, and I worked at a movie theater and all that stuff. But, I mean, I worked at the Comedy Store for 17 months, you know? And the special, just to get into it for a second, I mean, the special, I was kind of disappointed that nobody called me, like Paulie or one of them, because they all have my number. But I was there the night that Sam Kinison drove up in front of the store with his 38 and was going to shoot Andrew Dice Clay. I was between them before he left.
Did they hate each other? Were they at all?
They were not good friends. Let's just put it that way. And there was a brawl kind of started, and the bodyguards separated them. Sam took off, did a couple of lines of blow, got in the convertible Mustang with his gun, and came back and was looking for Dice. And his guy had called from the house, and they told me, "You got to tell Dice to get the hell out of here." So I went and told him, I'm like, dude, you got to leave. You got to get out of here. Sam's on his way back. He's loaded, and he's got a gun that's loaded. He will shoot you. And
I thought
led to their
had
being,
a Corvette.
There was, nope, Sam had a red Mustang convertible.
Okay. I know he had a Corvette for a while because a couple of the other guys now have Corvettes. And I've been like, is this a Kinison thing? And they're like, no, it's not. And I'm like, yeah, it kind of is,
yeah,
though.
It definitely is.
No, he had a red Mustang convertible. And
Jay,
there was a
bullet. Kate,
you know the Comedy Store sign at the back of the walkway to the belly room?
Yes.
In the back?
Okay. Yeah.
There was a bullet hole in the top of that sign for almost 15
I've
years.
I've seen that bullet hole.
I think they do. They still have
yes.
it.
Did they take it down?
I think they finally fixed it. But I was there the night that happened with Sam because he started looking for Dice. He started going down the walkway, and the gun went off, and it ricocheted off the top and hit the sign.
I love that.
Those
place.
Were the days.
It really is. I think they mention it several times as both like a pro and a con in the documentary that the inmates are running the asylum.
Yeah.
And it is so fun because you just go every day and you see your friends. And like it's weird how the generations turn over, but it's still that core group.
Or do you go? Are there days that you go and don't get up on stage? Like, how's that work?
I go as much as possible, whether or not I get up on stage. I've gone up a couple of times since quarantine. Like they have it in the window now. You know, there's that big front glass window.
Okay.
Into the original room.
Yep.
And so because they're not allowed to do parking lot shows or anything, the rules keep changing. Like we get in trouble with the health inspector like a couple times a week, depending on who's the managing and who snaps at the health inspector.
Right.
Can
you imagine being the health inspector walking into that place? Like, I mean, it's just got to be like a den of vipers. Like
they literally come back like the managers that are on duty because they're running like skeleton crew right now. They have like two waitresses, a kitchen guy. the one door guy.
Because they can have and, like, all the manager. Of probably, what, 20% in or 20, you know, if that.
It's all in the parking lot. So they'll still be like 100 people. But it takes.
Hold on for it.
It takes forever to get anything.
I'm back.
There.
Yay.
I missed you all so much.
I'm sorry
but
I said
you were Scotty
friend. They
literally come in the back. Yep. And they'll look at it like you'll just see it in like on Curtis's face where he's like, "You guys, you gotta sit apart. You can't have this many people." Like my dad. Like I genuinely sort of feel like Curtis is just my dad at this point, who's just disappointed in all of us all the time.
Just looking down at her behavior. You could have done so much better. You could have done.
He's
so
like,
much
"You guys,
better.
You just can't." He's like, "Please, just behave."
Ginger,
like
please settle
hour.
This bet for us. What knocked you off? Was it did your phone die? Did you get sick of us? Did it just go away?
I'm in someone's hotel room, and it kept
the toilet hit you?
Pardon?
With the toilet water that was overflowing screw you up?
Yes, I had to shut the bathroom door. I overflowed it. But I didn't
dropping
poo or
bombs.
Anything. It was just a good old-fashioned pee. But okay. I used too much toilet paper. So anyway, no it kept coming up that I had to sign in as a guest. And I kept clicking it to not do that. And then it just kicked me off completely. And so
but
now
you're back,
I'm registered.
And that's all that really matters. You know what? You know who didn't call back? Sarah Vendella. She didn't call back. You called back.
So you know what? So it's just a name drop. We're going to just keep name dropping here. Like another mutual friend of ours, Taylor Wayne, because Christy sent over a pic of you, her, and Taylor out. So Taylor, Taylor's an old friend. Taylor's an old friend. I remember like one of the AVN shows we were at. She had this assistant, and he took a bath in his room at the Venetian, and just fell asleep as he was running the tub.
Oh.
So it just like flooded out the fucking rooms. It just like went down like the Venetian, like fucking the Venetian became
by
like
the way,
an Niagara.
Took a nap. Well, like was that? That's.
Oh no, he definitely took a nap or he passed out. One of the two.
Yeah, exactly. Like by the time your bathtub,
you reminded me of Adam.
You wake up like
he was Adam Jay before there was Adam. He was Adam.
Oh, so he pissed all over the toilet seat and didn't really do anything. Yeah,
left his pubes all over. Yeah, that kind of shit.
When I was on tour dancing, I was a featured dancer for 13 years. Whenever I went to Chicago and danced for the Admiral Theater, they had this really nice two-story suite that we would stay in. And I'd been there, you know, half a dozen times, and I went back and we didn't have the suite. And I'm like, what the fuck? Where's my suite? And apparently Terry Weigel, the bathtub was up on the second floor, and Terry Weigel fell asleep in the bathtub and flooded down onto the second floor of our hotel room.
We have no. Oh my god! I know Terry. She definitely air quotes fell asleep too. Like she came to Exotica one time when we were doing the Legends of Exotica thing. That chick was wild, man. She was crazy.
Ginger was there with that.
She's
girl.
Awesome. Terry's awesome.
She was totally. Like,
so we had
one
so
of my
Scott,
favorite girls ever.
We had the Legends of Exotica at New Jersey one of the years, and it was, you know, it was just like, I mean, Ginger was there, and Terry was there, Jill Kelly, Taylor Wayne was there, Jesus, who the hell else was?
Oh, was Christy Canyon there?
Christy was there, Luke and Alex,
Seika.
Luke Wilder and Alexander Sill.
Yeah,
Seika wonderful was people. There. It was fucking cool
was,
as shit.
It was
super,
one of our,
super expensive to produce.
It was one of our more cool successful things that we've ever tried. The hard part is like, you know, with our event, the girls now, or at least especially like kind of the first few years we're starting this, like you can sell DVDs and you can sell all this product. What happened with a lot of the legends were like, what are you going to sell? A VHS tape? Like and you know, some of them actually were, but they just don't have product to actually go out. And you know, those that weren't still active in the industry.
Oh,
so
see, I do a lot of horror conventions.
Yeah, see, you never left. Like you've always been around, so you always have your stuff flowing. But when you go find somebody that has
you crossed
you know,
over,
right?
Yeah, that's
true. The first thing I ever actually saw you in was The Devil's Rejects.
Oh, did you like it?
Yeah.
Rob Zombie.
I didn't know. I don't like scary movies. I did not know that it was a scary movie. And my boyfriend at the time
it's
was like,
the
"Oh my god,
Rejects.
It's so
Devil's
great!
Rejects.
You're gonna love it." I didn't know this, right? And it starts, and like I'm just under the bed. Like,
Kate, you had so much promise, Kate. You had so much promise.
I still like
I'm a baby. I watched the whole thing. It was good. It was interesting. It was gross. Like, I liked it, but I was like the whole, like, I was like watching it like half under the covers. Like,
Human Centipede is gross. Devil's Rejects wasn't that bad.
The part where he has the face on was pretty gross.
But I want to know what you were expecting to see.
Yeah, exactly.
Was he didn't tell me anything about
it. Do you think it was going to be a feel good movie about a bunch of kids selling manure?
Yeah. I think he told me it was about bikers.
You know, the little clamshell singing under the sea, under the sea. No, it's called The Devil's Rejects.
That's why I don't trust.
Well, we're glad we weren't traumatized too much, Kate.
Not too much. I'm a big girl. I can handle it. It's fine.
Well, and so my scene, I'm just basically naked and riding Captain Spaulding with a gun in his face.
Yeah, so
totally fine.
My scene it wasn't too scary.
5-star performance.
Thank you very much.
It's one of the few parts of that movie I actually watched. It's just like... under the covers.
Sexy, totally in. So the scary stuff, totally out.
Meanwhile, scary
this
stuff.
Girl
like,
has
I'll
been waterboarded,
about it all
so like you know, it's.
And she also, I'm sure she's gotten a tongue stuck to a pole too.
Yeah, I was gonna say, Scott. Like, I think you and I have the same skill set when it comes to being like, I can do that too.
Do you have to get
my like they?
Oh my god!
They show that you in like if you grow up in like a cold place like in Colorado. I remember my dad being like, no matter what a kid says,
do not
eat the yellow snow.
Dude, it's so funny you say that. I'm back home in my hometown in Vermont now, and it was the same. Like, and by the way, everybody knows that kid in school that did. Like, everybody. Yep. Like, it is a guarantee. I could tell you the dude that, and I know the exact part of the
I can
metal
tell you
fence
being from New Jersey that no person from New Jersey is stupid enough to do that.
Because New Jersey
unless they're getting paid a lot of money.
Unless they're getting paid a lot of money to do it.
I'm from and then it's fake anyway. Illinois, and I'm a girl and I did it.
Yeah. Same. I guess my one
I'm the stupid idiot in my town that did it.
I don't want to harp on the scene because obviously it's probably the thing that like people just bother you with the most, Scott, but like how did they do it? Did they glue your tongue to it? Did they like
there was a real pole, but there was a piece of plastic over it and they put a hole in it about the size of your pinky nail.
Okay.
And they put a tube in it, and it went down into the snow, and there was a little motor, like a dirt devil, like a little vacuum cleaner motor.
Okay.
So it was just, and that was it.
So you weren't frozen to it. It, like, stuck to
right.
it. It sucked your
it.
Tongue on, and then they could turn it off.
Right.
Because it looked,
that's
mean.
That's brilliant.
By the way, that's what it looks like when your tongue gets stuck onto a metal pole like that.
I've met people who have done it and they've been very proud to tell me they've done it. They saw it and they had to try it. And I'm like, you're a schmuck.
No matter how many times your parents tell you not to touch the cigarette lighter in the car.
Well, you did it before.
You still got to do it.
Yeah.
You know,
Ginger did it before, you know,
my friend in like second grade, we're sitting in his dad's Cadillac or whatever, and he puts a cigarette lighter, and I'm like, dude, touch it, see what happens.
Dude, I burned the shit
and
out of
my
hand.
He had these rings of fucking death on his thumb.
Oh,
yep, I did it.
Ouch.
I was the bad one. I also convinced the same kid that we should build a fireplace in the woods made out of a cardboard box. And we put it out by peeing on it.
I the dung on the flagpole is great. I'd rather talk about doing Torn with Ginger. I got to be in a movie with her, and it was wonderful, and we had a blast.
How was that?
Do tell.
Absolutely did. Lost Souls, correct?
Oh, God. Well, but nobody has seen that, though.
No one's seen Lost Souls. What are you talking about?
Torn.
Torn. Oh, my God, Torn. Yes.
That movie you were in with Scott.
God, so good in that.
So they put me in a scene where Kylie Ireland and I are supposed to be, you know, like husband, wife, whatever. But we're sleeping in a bed and Tony Tedeschi comes in and he starts doing they start having sex right next to me. Now, Ginger is sitting off the set watching the monitor with Veronica Hart and everybody else. And I started being funny you know, Tony grabs one of my legs instead of both of her legs. And then he starts going up and down and my ass was bumping up and down. And I got them laughing so hard that they had a cut because they were cracking up so bad. That was just fun.
It was so fucking funny. It was hysterical. I had a belly laugh. It hurt so much I was laughing.
Poor needs more blooper reel.
Dude, they really
Kylie Ireland actually grew up right down the street from me.
Oh, really?
In like a small town in college. Yeah.
Kylie was there for Legends of Exotica too.
Was she? Yeah,
I was at Thanksgiving a couple years ago in the Valley and someone asked where I was from and I was like, oh, it's a small town in Colorado outside of Boulder. And I didn't know her like at all. I was like brand new in the industry. And she like spins around. She goes, wait, what small town?
She was still in the waterboarding phase of her industry of the career.
And she's like, oh, she's like, I grew up in, like, she names cross streets that were, like, down the street from my neighborhood, like, less than a mile away.
Don't you love when you meet somebody like that and they're like, oh, I know this. And then you know if they know your little town, you're just like, oh, yeah, Railroad Street? Yeah, that's right.
There was an actress way long ago, mostly did bondage, Kim Wilde. And she actually grew up 2 miles from me. She was a tall, skinny brunette. But she grew up literally from the street I lived on. If you went to the end of my street, you made a left and the first right. That was the street she lived on.
The crazy thing is that we're doing Exotica Denver, and I'm sitting there with Marcy Hirsch. We're having breakfast and a couple of the girls from Vivid Radio, and one of them's Aiden Starr. And we're just like talking, and I said something like Jersey. She's there.
I love
it. And then I mentioned the town. I'm not going to mention the name of the town, but you know, it's a small town, like 10,000 people in New Jersey. And she has Stinkyville. Fuck you, Vermont boy. So we went to, we start talking or whatever. And she thought I was fucking with her when I said the name of the town. Cause she, you know, she's from here.
It's like this dude's been creeping my Wikipedia.
So then I found out last week, I didn't tell you this. So then I found out I'm talking with somebody.
Your sister, brother and sister.
I'm talking about somebody else. And they said, oh, you know who else is from this? You know, what other porn stars from here?
Who?
Lived here, April O'Neil. I'm like, what?
No.
So then I'm like, get the fuck out of here. So I text April, and I'm like, hey, you know, did you ever live in, you know, in New Jersey? She's like, yeah. She's like, I lived there. I was going to NYU, and I lived there for like a year and a half. And then I said, you know what? It's too fucking cold. I'm going back to Arizona. I'm like,
so don't remind
get the
me.
Fuck out. Yeah. She said, don't remind me. Exactly, Jay. Jay hates on Jersey.
No, I don't. I actually love New Jersey. Our New Jersey shows are my favorite show.
Only go for the shows. I grew up in central New Jersey where everybody had an acre of land and it was beautiful and there were horses and cow farms and all that stuff.
What I will tell you is I grew up in Vermont where we have literally state sponsored road signs that say don't Jersey, Vermont. But I will preface that by saying Jersey has some beautiful places. The problem is that anybody that drives through New Jersey that's not from New Jersey, what they see when they drive through is what they think they are. You know, I'm down in Philadelphia, which, by the way, stinks just as bad. So, you know, I mean, I'm not like, you know, whatever. But, you know, South Jersey, you go out, I mean, it's fucking beautiful. There's rolling farmlands and, like, I mean, it's pretty, you know, it's not what you would expect it to be.
But most people drive the turnpike
they drive the opening of the Sopranos and they think the whole state's like that.
The old Jersey barriers and all of that.
But if you go 78 or Route 80, it's gorgeous. Once you get, you know, 15 minutes outside the city, it's gorgeous.
Look, we've been doing our Exotica show in one of our shows, you know, for 13 years now in New Jersey. It's our biggest show of the year, like Jay was saying, in Edison. And like Edison's like in the middle of nowhere in New Jersey, but in the middle of everywhere.
Right.
Yeah. I'm 25 minutes from there.
Yeah, dead center of the state. So you got to come out to Exotica, Jersey. Ladies, real quick. I mean, I know everybody here has been doing like, you know, podcasts. I know, Scotty, you've done podcasts in the past too. But Ginger, you've been doing on Patreon.com, Who Let the Girls Out, right? With Christy?
Yeah, Christy and I did Playboy Radio and Manwin. We were with them for 10 years together. And we just have this, you know, it's what you would imagine when two girls get together and have a slumber party.
We have no holds barred.
It's dirty. It's naughty. It's fun. We experiment.
So it's what guys picture girl slumber parties to be like, right?
This exactly. I mean, we've got the dildos out. We explore everything on every on each other.
Most guys are just dreaming about pillow fights, but if you got dildos, I'm in.
We've got dildos. We play cooter ball. We play cooter ball. We have
cooter
guests
ball.
In the studio.
So did you buy the labia? Because
did you ever play cooter ball with a chuckle fucker?
No, cooter I've got ball. My own. I keep them attached. I know exactly where they are. And I like exactly
what are Ginger Lynn fans called? Are they not chuckle fuckers or you know what do you does your fan have like a legion of like fans like a fun name? Like the Ginger Holics?
Ginger Mania? No, I would just say star fucker, porn fucker.
Fucker in general.
Just fucker.
Yeah, yeah. I like that. Kate, you have a podcast too, the Kennedy Assassination.
I do.
Dude, yet the another Kennedy amazing title. Like, wait till you get to this girl's Instagram or like Twitter, Instagram, social media handles. Like, if there was a job writing social media handles, I would hire you.
Thank you. I'm really trying to turn this into a career.
If you can get our Instagram back, we will give you $2,000.
I call my fans the CIA, and I call my apartment Hyenas Port, which I think is quite clever. I'm really proud of that. I have a sign. I do a podcast called The Kennedy Assassination. It's been on hiatus for the last like month. It's a podcast where I interview men from the internet that don't like me or leave me mean comments about what they don't like about me.
Interesting.
Oh, how fun.
Yeah. It's super interesting.
I'm just going to get on the show now.
People kept saying that. They're like, I'll just be mean to you online so I can get on the show. It's like, that's not the spirit of it. Like, you're fucking with the concept. Because I, from like the get-go, when I started being in porn, or then especially when I started doing podcasts, like, I would just consistently get comments that like weren't even offensive to me. They were just weird. Like, one time somebody commented, she's like Ted Bundy, but with great tits.
You know,
I was like, I want to talk to you about this.
I need to know what that means, right? Like, please explain.
Yeah. Please elaborate.
And did he?
Yeah, that guy did not go on. But initially, I did like a set of 10 episodes that I released.
Right.
And would like just go and I would basically tell them, I'd send him an email and be like, I'm not going to attack you. I have, like, I really don't have a dog
questions.
In this fight.
Right.
Yeah, I have questions. I'm interested. I want to get into the mindset that causes someone to like leave a comment like this. Like, what is it that you think about it? And also, like, what do we think about as valid or invalid criticism? Because a lot of times when people do say things to me, I'm like, okay, yeah, I can see. I get where you're
Ted Bundy,
going with that.
Totally. Like, yeah.
Yeah, I have some empathy issues once in a while. Like, you know.
It sounds like, what's your show called?
The Kennedy Assassination.
Yet another amazing title.
Thank you.
You said that.
So I've retooled the show a little bit to try to make it like more of a solo show where I can just respond to comments, because it turns out it's pretty hard to get random men from the internet to agree to come on your show
after they've said something weird or like not.
I'll come on your show. I'm not a random guy, but I'll come on your show.
You need to go online and
say something mean about it, though, Scott.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I would spend literally over the summer, I would spend hours just like replying to like YouTube comments, Instagram DMs, like anything that would work. I would just spend hours being like, will you come on this show?
Just trying to actually get the guests to like, because I would assume like
to agree to it.
Yeah, I would assume that like if I leave like a snarky or mean or nasty comment or whatever, that like if I'm getting
you would never
like,
do that
invite no would never do that
yeah
no usually the guys that do that are the biggest cowards ever. I mean, they live in
exactly
the mom's basement.
Which is exactly why
and
they won't
the,
reply
yeah.
to you.
Yeah,
but like
so
even when I'm
really
like
difficult to get guests,
will you come on my podcast, like I feel like that's still taking the power back,
right?
Because like that's the last reply you're right. gonna expect from like
absolutely not.
Will you come on my show?
Exactly.
So thanks so much for the nasty comment. What are you doing at 5 o'clock on Friday?
Right? I'm literally like, I'm free anytime. I don't have a job. Like, We can do this whenever. All I need you to do is call in. I'll send you the
link.
Which
makes you even like thirstier, which is like.
No video. I'll change your name. Like, I give them so much anonymity for it. But we are retooling to make it more sustainable. And then I'm also working on another project with a bunch of Comedy Store people that I can't say a lot about right now, but it's kind of a game show with a lot of comedians, and we're filming the pilot tomorrow. So we're going to see how it's going to work.
Don't say anything else.
Good luck. Break a leg.
It's like an ensemble show. People will come in and out. It should be pretty fun. We'll just see if it works tomorrow. But we're excited about that. Test her out.
Oh, I've got one more thing that I don't want people to forget about. My OnlyFans. I'm having so much fun doing my OnlyFans. It's onlyfans.com/whatever/ Blame it on Ginger. Blame it on Ginger.
Blame it on Ginger. So, Jay, you know what it's time for, Jay? I want to know what's been happening this week, Jay.
Well, Dan, it's a good time to ask. So we'll bring in weekly update with Jay. Nothing
very loud.
Weekend update. You're just old. Your ears have gotten worse, and that would make it not as loud. So anyway,
is that a foosball table in the corner?
No, it's a pool table. Don't even ask about this. I got like weird like workout spot over here. I got like
it's from couch. Have a big house there.
Exactly, it's a big house for like you know
250.
Exactly. So, all right. So this is the lovely part of the story of the show where we get to kind of like pick some like fun headlines, run through them. So, you know, you ready for it, Dan? Are you excited, Dan?
Sure.
Dan has some contribution to this as well. So, if it doesn't hit, it's all Dan's fault. All right. So, story number one: 8-year-old from Texas wins first in kids category for mullets in the United States. Best mullets in the United States. 8-year-old kid in Texas can now say that he has the best mullet in the U.S. after winning first place in the kids division of the 2020 Kids Mullet Championship. His name is Jax, and he won $500.
Obviously, his parents are Sons of Anarchy fans. Keep going.
Possibly. He won a whopping $500 in a gift card. In
Walmart?
A gift card package. It doesn't even say like what to what. Like, it just
Piggly
said,
Wiggly?
Whatever. He beat out only 100 other applicants, which means like that's good. Like if there were a lot more applicants, I'd be much more terrified.
What baseball card of it is worth.
He beat out 100 applicants and received over 5,000 votes. The young man celebrated his win by getting a new Confederate flag tattoo and proposing to his sister.
Oh my god!
Yes. Like
that. Wow.
You got jokes.
Story number two. Here we go. Just from the graphic, you can tell this is going to be wrong. Anti-gay pastor who blamed homosexuality and quote unquote lack of virgins for COVID-19 has died of COVID-19. Anti-LGBTQ televangelist Irvin Baxter Jr., of course he's a junior, has died from COVID-19. In March, he claimed that both a lack of virgins and homosexuality.
Dude, you're a junior.
No, I'm not.
You and your dad have the same name.
Different middle names, so I wouldn't be a junior. And
semantics.
Whatever. Anyways, this guy claimed that both a lack of virgins and homosexuality was to blame for the virus. He said 5% of new brides in America are virgins. That means 95% have already committed fornication. He continued, God may be using this as a wake-up call. The coronavirus may be a privilege. Because I will tell you right now, there is a much bigger judgment coming. God reportedly responded by saying, no need for lube. I'm going to fuck this guy dry. Oh, geez. Hey. I just threw up my weekend update. Right, here we go. Where'd we go?
What'd you do? Jesus Christ.
I don't know. I'm just clicking on buttons now. See what happens? There we go. I'm taking you guys all out. Anyways. What happens if you're pushing the wrong button?
All right. And he's not even fucking high.
Next story. Here we go. DC liquor store sells more champagne after Trump loss than on the last two New Year's combined. Sorry, this is the only political conversation that we have, I promise. Liquor stores in Washington, D.C. reported a spike in champagne sales after Joe Biden was projected the winner of the U.S. presidential election, according to a report this week in Newsweek. People took to the streets following the announcement from major news outlets. Fox News reporters compared the celebration to New Year's Eve in multiple cities, complete with champagne and bottles. Multiple liquor stores across the nation's capital claimed that they sold more champagne in 12 hours of celebrations following Biden's projected win than they did in any previous holiday. In other news, Bud Light is facing a widespread loss due to the Trump-Pence loss. Massachusetts,
I can't see, them shaking. We can't see each other shaking our heads. We'll
add everybody back in. Everybody kind of got lost there for a
second. There we are.
How's that?
Hey, okay. We're back.
So anyways, moving past the political stuff. Massachusetts, man, a much happier story. Plants Christmas trees in potholes. Massachusetts man fed up with the local potholes decided to take matters into his own hands by planting tiny Christmas trees in the holes on a busy road. Kevin Martin said he had previously complained to the town and state government about the potholes, but no action was taken. He said he went to the Home Depot and bought some planting soil and some small Christmas trees. He planted the trees in the potholes on the way home from work on Monday morning. Meanwhile, a Denver resident was inspired to I didn't even change the thing. There you go. Meanwhile, a Denver resident was inspired to plant pot plants in cracked sidewalks, claiming it was funny, and he was just really high, just like Dan was when he wrote this joke.
Yes.
All right, and the last one, really, you know, the last story needs no description or no explanation. Marks and Spencer,
did you draw that? That's awesome.
A British retailer, has announced its newest Christmas pastry. The name of it, Santa Yum Nuts. And that's it for me here. Weekly Up to Date with Jay Handy. Back to you guys in the studio. Here we go. Moving on.
There you go. That was good, Jay.
Okay, thank you.
That was good. In the meantime, Scotty, Ginger, and Kato, they're like, what the fuck are we doing here? Why did I agree to do this? This is definitely the lowest point of my career.
I had to find out about the Santa Yum Nuts.
Yeah, Yum Nuts. I mean, I should have posted a link. I don't even know. I had other ideas of the graphic, but I'm pretty sure they would have gotten this thrown off of YouTube. So I figured, you know,
that was pretty funny.
You know what,
Jay? Stuck with the safe one.
Jay?
I'd like some Yum Nuts.
Well, it's 6:03.
You are in Vegas. You know what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas.
If they're anything like snowballs, I'm into it.
Snowballs are awesome.
Right?
Snowballs are awesome.
Flavored. I want to put the flavoring that they do, the sweet, like you do on a snow cone.
Are we thinking about the same snowballs? Balls?
No, the snowballs are like the little cakes with the coconut.
The Hostess with the coconut. And the chocolate.
Oh, I'm thinking real snowballs.
Dude, see, I'm high, and that sounds really good right now. So now, damn you. Yeah. Damn you to hell, Kate Kennedy.
All right, this show's got to be over because we got to go get some coconut balls.
I'm going to 7-Eleven. Oh, my God. So, look, I want to personally I want to thank each and every one of you
for not hanging
from the bottom of my heart, for not leaving the show, even when you wanted to multiple times.
Yep.
Ginger, you left and you came back.
Seriously.
Scotty,
you didn't push that button, and we appreciate you. And, Kate, thank you for making us laugh.
Yes, I'm going to go leave some nasty comments.
Thank you for laughing. Yes. I really appreciate it. I really rely on the admiration of strangers for my self-esteem. So I appreciate that. Also, you can get my OnlyFans as well at theogkennedy.com.
Oh, listen, we're getting there. I got a whole graphic for ridiculous.
Okay, good.
Jay, why don't you show everybody where they can find Miss Kate Kennedy?
Oh, Miss Kate.
Yeah, I don't have an OnlyFans.
Oh,
okay.
We made you one.
My Instagram is actually the_OGKennedy.
Nice job, Ben. Way to research that.
The PG Kennedy is a Twitter account that I have, but it was intended to be like a safe for work Twitter account for comedy while I was still doing porn, and then I didn't want to rebuild my following. But now I think I'm going to change.
Okay,
my
so let's get this straight. So Twitter is at
The OG Kennedy.
Okay.
Instagram is the underscore OG Kennedy. But now that you're so smart to use that for Instagram that now I want to change it.
What, the PG Kennedy?
Well, okay, there was already a guy that has the OG Kennedy, and he's like a science teacher in like Minnesota with like 100 followers. I've been messaging this guy for like 8 months.
And
like, nothing. I just message him constantly.
You're like, bro,
bothering him.
You got to hook me up here.
I've asked other people on other podcasts to go harass him. Yeah. I've literally gone on so many shows and been like, please go message this guy and harass him until he gives it to me.
Kate, snowballs will get snowballs. It done.
We heard Dan. The snowballs are in. And then OnlyFans.
Everybody DM that guy and fucking tell him to give her the goddamn fucking name.
Oh, yeah, because us all threatening him is going to make him really want to, like.
This poor man. I know. It's been months, and he still hasn't allowed me to, like, I requested to follow him months ago. Nothing.
You know what?
I've offered to pay him. He's probably not even on there.
Has he ever replied to
you? Tell him you're going to send Sarah Vandella to his house.
Seriously, she'll fuck him up. If not, she'll.
But everything else is correct.
Okay, all there right, you go. Cool. Including semiprocockjockey.com.
That's a website.
Yeah, that's
Ginger.
There you go.
Watch this. Now go to Ginger's. Here, tell everybody where they can find you. Here we go.
Rain that falls.
Yeah, blame it on Ginger on Twitter.
I like that you got
Twitter, you can follow me at Blame It On Ginger. Instagram is at Blame It On Ginger, and my website is gingerlyn.com. My OnlyFans is onlyfans.com/blameitonginger.
Blame It On Ginger.
See, I didn't.
You have, and you also have gingerlynart.com, correct?
Yes.
I have gingerlynart.com, where you can purchase and view my original paintings and artwork. And then I also have gingerlynauctions.com, which is a website.
By her labia.
It's an adult eBay. You buy, I photograph the girls in their lingerie, and then you have the opportunity to purchase their used lingerie. It's free for all the girls that are out there. I designed it for women who woke up one day and went, oh, fuck, I don't want to do porn anymore. What am I going to do? And in their garage, they've got 5 tubs full of lingerie because you can only wear things once or twice. So all of the girls are welcome to come, post your shit. I charge you nothing. You make all the money.
Oh wait, I'm getting into this. I have tubs of lingerie that I'm doing.
We will put you guys together. I'll have her people call you.
GingerlynAuctions.com. GingerlynAuctions.com, and I'll take care of you.
And last but certainly not least,
Scott. I think we got some
really stuff
here for you. You're on Twitter, but you're really not that active on Twitter, are you?
No, I'm really not that active on Twitter. My Facebook, actually, no, my Facebook. Take that off because it's Scott Schwartz actor. That's not Scotty Schwartz is not me.
Fuck that guy then.
Fuck him.
Scotty Schwartz is not me. So it's Scott Schwartz.
We're gonna need some better fact checkers in this thing because apparently.
And this is Reggie. He wanted to come say hi.
What's up, Reggie?
I think the key one though is probably Cameo, right, Scotty? Is that the one that you use the most?
Yeah, Scott Schwartz on Cameo as well. I'm getting kisses.
We got you on there. So everybody, you can go on there. And if you watch Scott's cameos, they're pretty freaking awesome. Whatever. He's awesome at them. And you know what, Jay?
What's that, Dan?
You're awesome too.
You're awesome, man.
Thanks, guys.
I did not say but I accept your apology about Sarah Vandella.
That's right. And I want to thank anybody. I want to thank everybody here for not pulling a Sarah. We're going to start she's a character.
I'm only here because Ginger's here. I'm only here because Ginger is here. That's it.
And by the way,
baby, you guys are all awesome.
Don't beat up Kate.
And I want to thank you.
Don't be a Sarah.
Jay,
don't be a Sarah.
Don't be a Sarah. All right. Well, listen, guys, thank you so much. Yeah. Go for it, Dan.
I want to say, tell everybody out there, please wear your mask. Let's get through this stupid thing. Agreed. It's not going to kill you to wear a mask. Please. Pretty please.
A little bit.
We want to do Exoticas again. This is a lot of fun doing these things, but guys, unfortunately, for the next 2 weeks, we will not be here because Jay's going to be running around the fucking Vermont on shrooms, listening to Fish.
Yes, that's what I'm all about, baby.
So everybody, have a very, very safe Thanksgiving. Be safe
and be sexy, everybody. We'll catch you soon.
All right, bye.
All right, thank you, everyone.